Hello, everyone. Welcome to Moriah Central School. We have a very special event today. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2019, and we are contacting the International Space Station as it circles the globe. We have an audience full of students, and we're going to show those to you right now. Everybody say hello here. We have a very excited group of students here today, and we have an opportunity today that is very special. We have a group of students who have spent hours working on this, practicing and rehearsing. There are questions to be asked at this, for the astronauts today. Today we are going to contact the space station. If everybody looks over here on the screen, the space station is traveling around the world at 17,500 miles an hour. So it circles the globe every 90 minutes. In fact, when we were practicing here earlier today, the space station was almost in the same spot it is now. So it has already, in the last hour and a half, circled the globe. So while many of you were eating lunch or that type of thing earlier today, the space station continuously orbits Earth at 17,500 miles an hour. So because it is traveling so fast, we have a very short window to talk with astronauts, because as soon as they become in radio contact, they're only in contact for so long before they go out of contact. So we have a very short window of time, and you're gonna see these students up here moving very quickly to make sure everything happens so that we get as many questions in as we possibly can. So today's program is an experiment, okay? So as you know, we've been scheduled a few times now, and that is because it's very busy on the space station. There's a lot of scientific research happening. There's a lot of experiments. There's more traffic to the space station than ever before. And so it's a very busy place. And so that's the reason why I've been rescheduled a few times, and it's certainly understandable. What we're going to do in this experiment is try to make contact today over radio, because the space station is in low Earth orbit, meaning that there's no direct internet connection to the space station. So we contact them through radio, and we're going to explain that a little bit today. So in this experiment, there are some things that could go wrong. There are many moving parts. We're going to contact a radio station in Australia who's going to help us talk to the astronauts. And in Australia currently, there is heavy storms. There is heavy weather and wind. And if we don't make contact because of the storms for some reason, they have another station, a backup station, a little farther away that they can do in just a few minutes later. So we're pretty confident today we're going to make contact, at least in some sense of the word, the best we can. So today's experiment, it could work, it could not work, but we're all here for the ride, and we're in for a really good treat today, hopefully. So I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Hoops, and he's going to tell you some things about the International Space Station and amateur radio is how we're contacting the space station. So everybody give Mr. Hoops a round of applause.
Hello, everybody. I should tell you how all this started, really, is Matt and I are both amateur radio operators. And we found that there was this program called Amateur Radio in the International Space Station. And we thought that that would kind of be one of the more unusual things that we did at Moriah. And then we found it's one of the more unusual things to do in this country. So we are extremely fortunate to have this little window of opportunity to speak with these scientists, really. I was astonished looking up facts about the International Space Station. For instance, it is the most expensive piece of equipment ever purchased by humanity. About $125 billion. Well, we didn't pay for it. It's a cooperative operation done by the United States, Russia, Canada, the European Space Agency, and the Japanese Space Agency. And it seems to be, for me, it seems to be a model of the kind of cooperation we should have on Earth if we can have it in space. It's been going on since 2000. This satellite has been up there for going on 19 years. And it should be up there. I think there are promises to keep it maintained until at least 2028. It's as big as a football field. And the living space, of course, is much smaller because much of the mass of the space station is made up of thrusters and power wings. So imagine being one of five astronauts who has to live in a fairly small space for up to 400 days at a time. And the living space they have is actually smaller than one of our classrooms. So I think that takes a pretty special kind of person. They are up about 200, and right now they're 260 miles up. That puts them well within the Earth's magnetic zone, which protects them from the deadly radiation from the sun, which actually that magnetic field extends about 43,000 miles out from the Earth, so they're well within that zone of protection. But it takes them 92 minutes to orbit. That's about an hour and a half. They do 15 and a half orbits of this planet every day, traveling at about 17,000 miles an hour. It's the ninth space station that has gone up. Those of you older than I am remember a thing called Skylab that went up in 1976. That was one of the earlier space stations. Now, all of the space stations have had amateur radio operators on them because it's the only way that you can wirelessly communicate from that high up. They don't have cell towers in space. And I believe that every space station has had a licensed amateur radio operator on it. And for 20 years, they have these small windows. It's kind of like talking to a satellite that's moving at 17,000 miles an hour is like riding your bicycle and talking to a car going about 65 on the highway. You might get a couple of words in, but it's not going to be for long. The amateur radio that we have here, we can use to communicate with satellites. We can use to communicate with people all over the world. And those of you who are in Mr. Prey's radio club, what do you call that? VTech, would know all about that. I think that's pretty much all that I have. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we still have a few minutes before we start the formal presentation. What I'd like to do right now is tell you all the different people that are involved, okay? So number one, we have the local community. We have the Mariah Chamber of Commerce helping us out. We have the Champlain Valley Amateur Radio Club, which we have a few members here today that have sat in, and they've joined us today because they've been a tremendous help trying to get me resources for the last year in this project. So I thank you to them. We also have that Project ARIS that you see the logo over on the other screen come up occasionally. They are a worldwide organization of amateur radio operators that do this for schools, give the schools the opportunity to talk with astronauts. And we couldn't do it without them. We also have, there are also many people involved. We have a mentor that's helped us out. His name is Dave Jordan. He's been helping us for the last 15 months to do this. Okay, so thank you to him. There's also a person named John Clute, who you're going to hear from in just a few minutes, who has sort of organized this whole event. Thank you to him. We also have the schedulers for ARIS, the schedulers for NASA, the schedulers for the International Space Station. And all of those organizations have to work together to find a date and time that works best for everyone. So it's not an easy task by any means. So thank you to everybody involved. And in just a few minutes, we have a few minutes, we're gonna start our formal presentation here at about 12:42. So Mr. Hoops has done a great job telling you about the International Space Station. Thank Mr. Gaynor for helping us with the live stream today. Everybody give him a round of applause. And also, way in the back of the auditorium, Mrs. Reeder is back there helping us out with a video that we're going to show in a little bit. So thank you to her. And lastly, all of your teachers out there have been very patient with me and my 10,000 emails over the last few weeks. So thank you to them for being patient. We have one request for all of you right now, okay? Now, here's the thing. We are live streaming. We are using some software to connect to Australia, okay? And what we're going to ask you to do is, if you know how to do it, put your cell phones on airplane mode right now, because that's really going to help us out. It's very important. So if you have a cell phone in your pocket, flip it up, go to the settings, turn on airplane mode for this presentation. We have about 3 minutes before we start making our formal presentation. If you look in front of the screen, you'll see the timer counting down. That's the countdown to our contact time. So we have about 13 minutes before we attempt to make contact on the space station. So keep your eye on that timer. I'm not sure. One thing that I did mention, in the center screen, you're looking at a live stream footage of our ground station in Australia. His name is Martin, and I'm pretty sure Martin can still hear me. So Martin, if you want to wave to everybody, it may take a second or two to show up on the live stream. But thanks for Martin for doing everything. How cool is this? We're, you know... Guys, if you want to think about it, okay, when I was in school, okay, here's how old I am, okay? When I was in school, we used to have a thing called pen pals, where we'd write to somebody in France, and we'd have to write them, and it would take 4 weeks to hear back from them. And now, with modern technology, we can communicate with people all over the world instantly. How cool is that?
And those of you who think that you don't use radios, you're using a radio every day. That little cell phone in your pocket is actually a transceiver that operates on a frequency of about 930 megahertz. Different carriers have different frequencies, which is why some phones for Verizon don't work with phones from AT&T, because they're all tuned to different frequencies. They have a transmitting power of about a quarter of a watt. A handheld radio for amateur radio generally you can use up to 5 watts, sometimes 25 watts. But basically the whole thing is, it's 1242. The universe seems to be running on radio waves. Wireless, Wi-Fi routers are all giving out frequencies and that you have to be tuned into. So it's kind of, amateur radio has moved along with technology, but I think it was amateur radio that got the idea first.
That's interesting. This is John, K4SQC. Some people say that amateur radio was the first social network, which is kind of an interesting thought. Conference operator, you want to go ahead and please start recording. We always do record these just so that we have a record of what happened. My name is John Clute, K4SQC, and I'm the amateur radio moderator for today's ARIS contact. As you heard, ARIS stands for Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. As you also heard, ARIS is a consortium of amateur radio organizations and space organizations from around the world. In addition to NASA, we also work with the American Radio Relay League. This is an organization that represents all amateur radio operators. There are about 750,000 of them in the United States. We also work with AMSAT. This is a worldwide organization, that the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, that has been launching amateur radio satellites for several decades now. Also, obviously very important, as you heard, are the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, NASA, and ROSCOM, the Russian agency. With the help of amateur radio volunteers and the crew of the ISS, as you've heard, we hope to as soon establish a radio contact with the International Space Station, as it is flying about 260 miles above the Earth over Australia. This contact will be performed using the Amateur Radio Telebridge Network. This is a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that are connected together through a telephone network. This helps enable students to contact the ISS regardless of where it is in the world. A contact, as you've heard, is relatively short at 17,500 miles an hour. It takes about 10 minutes from the time we first hear the International Space Station until we lose the International Space Station on the opposite horizon. So we'll have about 10 minutes for this contact. As you should be noticing in your screen, the ISS is currently flying over the Indian subcontinent, heading towards Australia, and as we previously noted, flying very quickly. We do have a short video, courtesy of the Amateur Radio Relay League, to show you that will explain what is about to happen. So, Matt, you want to go ahead and run the video, please?
Sure.
Hi, my name is Ruth.
And my name is Chris.
You must be pretty excited to talk directly with astronauts on the International Space Station today. While we're waiting for the space station to come over your portion of the sky, let's talk a little bit about how it's going to happen. Of course, Mission Control is in contact with astronauts all the time, using a big radio with lots of fancy equipment.
However, we're going to be using something very different today. We are going to use ham or amateur radio to talk directly to the International Space Station.
When most people hear the word radio, they think of a music radio station, but it's so much more than that. Radio actually refers to the unseen energy that transmits all sorts of signals using electromagnetic waves. At first, people learn how to send signals like Morse code, and then they discover that you can send so much more, like data, computer signals, and even TV.
Maybe you don't realize it, but you use radio every day. Maybe you watched the TV this morning, or you texted your friends, or maybe even you checked social media like Twitter or Instagram.
Let's travel back to space for a minute. Since the beginning of the space age, humans have sent many spacecraft out into the universe. These range from the Hubble Space Telescope orbiting the Earth daily, and the Curiosity rover exploring Mars. We've even sent a long-distance messenger, the Voyager 1, who has traveled outside of our solar system.
Whether it's capturing a great picture of a far-off galaxy or conducting experiments on the space station, radio has to do with all of these. And today, you're going to be using ham radio. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is ham radio?
Amateur or ham radio is a service and a hobby where operators can talk to people around their neighborhoods, their cities, their country, and even around the world. Amateur radio operators require a radio license from the government. They're not that hard to get. I have one. My call sign is KM4LAO.
And mine is KD8YBJ. Our call signs are a way of identifying who we are to other operators. This lets everyone know that we have the proper license to using the radios.
As amateur radio operators, or hands as we are often called, we can talk with others about basically whatever we want, often science or some new radio gadget that we are interested in.
Let's focus back to the space station and your contact today. Many of the astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the space station are licensed ham radio operators. That's why your operators today can contact them. The people here, as well as the astronauts, are licensed to talk to each other and you are allowed to talk over to their radio.
For our conversation today, we'll need an amateur radio station on the ground, either in this location or somewhere else around the world. We'll also need a radio in the space station.
Anyone at that? Anyone at that?
You can hear the calls coming. This is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra, the International Space Station, over.
On the space station, the radio transceiver is connected to an amateur radio antenna mounted on the outside. One of these antennas will be used today during our contact.
For our side of the contact, we need a good-sized antenna, a signal amplifier, something to make our signal stronger, and a rotator for turning our antenna. We have to keep our antenna pointed right at the International Space Station. And remember, it's moving across the sky, and fast.
To aim the antenna properly, we need to track the path of the space station exactly. NASA uses complex systems to track the path of the space station and other orbiting objects.
The satellite tracking program we are using works out a complicated set of mathematics to provide the orbital location of the space station moment by moment as it moves through space. This information is sent to the computer that controls the antenna rotator, which moves the antenna to follow the space station. Maybe some of you have seen or worked with robotics. That's pretty cool stuff. And just like you can program a robot where to go, what to do, and how to get there, you can also program a computer to tell an antenna how to track the space station across the sky.
You know, it took a lot of planning to get this contact. Several weeks ago, the ARIS operations team had to figure out when the space station's orbit would pass over this location. Then, they had to talk with the planners at NASA's Johnson Space Center. The crew's time is pretty full, so they were able to find a time that could work for the crew members' schedules. Once they found times that would work both in space and here on the ground, the host organized this contact. And in just a few minutes, you'll be hearing and talking to the astronauts.
Well, it's almost time for your contact. It will be exciting, so good luck with it.
Okay, thank you very much. As you heard, today's contact will be established using an ARIS ground station in Meadow Springs, Western Australia, operated by Martin Diggins, VK6MJ, and thanks for helping out today, Martin. The astronaut that we'll be talking to is astronaut David St. Jacques, KG5FYI, who will be using the ISS call sign OR4ISS. Matt, I think you've pretty much explained what's going on at Mariah. So, Martin, I'd like to turn it over to you. Could you tell us just a little bit about your station?
Absolutely, and good morning to you all. My name is Martin Diggins, and I've been an amateur radio for over 30 years, and I've had a very keen interest in space and satellites as well, and amateur radio has helped me to become involved with both. My antenna is a computer-controlled system that follows the ISS through the sky, and the received signal is sent via my radio to the phone patch and down to your school. The astronaut will be able to hear you when you talk back to my radio over the phone line. Just before I transmit, I will open the squelch. It'll sound like this. And then I will call him. So back to you, John.
Yeah, very good. It looks like we have about a minute to go, or a little bit more than a minute, until the contact starts. As Matthew said, I want you to all remember that this is an experiment, and so you never quite know what the results will be until we see what happens, positive or negative. This is always a grand adventure. The one thing that I would remind you that you already heard is please do keep your cell phones on airplane mode to eliminate interference. And students, please don't forget to say over at the end of your question. That is the signal for Martin to go from transmit to receive, or whichever way is appropriate. So, Martin, I think it's just about time for you. I'm going to turn it over to you. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Okay, we've got a few seconds before the space station arrives. And the moment it does, then I'll open the squelch on this radio and I will call him. So just stand by. And hopefully the wind will stay calm, which it is at the moment. The antenna is in position. And here we go. Please stand by. Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. This is Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet in Perth, calling for a scheduled contact. Do you copy? Over. Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. This is Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet in Perth, calling for a scheduled copy. Contact, do you copy? Over.
Victor Kilo 6, Mike Juliet. This is Oscar Romeo 4, ISS. I have you loud and clear.
Well done and welcome to Down Under once again. Can we go straight to the school for the first question, please? Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Karen. What is the purpose of the International Space Station and why is it of value to all of humanity? Over.
Hello, Karen. Welcome to the space station. Welcome on board, everybody. The ISS is an orbital laboratory. It is a scientific institution run by major countries of the world. It also serves, in my opinion, as an incredible example of international collaboration. Its value is both in terms of research, in terms of demonstrating that we can work together when we decide that to put our differences aside. Over.
Hi, my name is Lily. What is the most amazing thing you have seen from the space station? Over.
Hello, Lily. The most amazing thing you see from here, of course, is our beautiful planet Earth. She's glowing blue. You can see that she's almost breathing. It is every time I see it, it's just a very touching sight. She is the only living thing around. Everything else is dead in space. Over.
My name is Taylor. What do you get to do in your free time when you are not working? Over.
Hello, Taylor. Well, the most interesting to do here, I guess, is to simply look out the window and think and play geography trivia. So I try to look out the window and guess where I am. That's my favorite pastime. Over.
Hi, my name is Landon. What have you learned the most from living and working in space? Over.
Yeah, Landon. To me, what is the best thing I've learned on space station is that it makes me believe even more strongly than I did before that the differences between human countries and human cultures, they exist, but they're not as big as what we have in common. The fact that we are here, international partners from countries that used to fight wars among themselves, to me that demonstrates that when we can work, when we decide to work together, we can accomplish miracles.
Oh. Hi, my name is Jacob. What is your favorite piece of hardware to use on a space station and what does it do? Over.
Is our spacesuit. That is how we do spacewalks. That is definitely the coolest thing we have on board, I think. It's like a miniature spacecraft in the shape of a human body that can keep you alive in the vacuum of space for about 8 hours. It's got air, it takes care of your carbon dioxide, provides cooling, provides communication, provides propulsion. It's an amazing piece of technology. Over.
Hi, my name is Caden. What types of computers are you using on board and what operating systems do they run? Over.
So the main computers that run station were purpose-made for space station. They are very hardy. We call them multiplexers, demultiplexers. They're very simple but powerful computers that were made by NASA for the space station. Other computers we use for user interface are the computer store, and those operate either on Linux or on Windows. The computers that run the space station operate on Linux. Over.
Hello, my name is Kyle. Do you get to listen to music in space? And if so, what do you all like to listen to? Over.
Well, that's a very personal choice. My brother loves music, and he knows music much better than me, so he provides playlists for me that I can upload, so I discover new Canadian music through my brother and my friends. Depending if I'm studying, I like to listen to quiet piano or jazz. When we're working, more ambiance music. Sometimes in the evening, we'll have something more lively. It really depends. Over. But music is important in space.
Hi, my name is Bowden. What is the most difficult and dangerous thing about living in space? Over.
You know, the most difficult thing probably is the separation from your family and your loved ones for such a long time. That is psychologically something you have to prepare for, not only astronaut, but the family as well. I find myself that's the most challenging part, to be a good astronaut. Of course you want to do that, but to remain a good father and a good husband and a good friend and a good son to everybody that you left on Earth, doing all that together, that's the main challenge. Over.
Hello, my name is Dieter. How many people can fit on board the space station safely? Over.
Hello, Dina. So right now there's six of us and it's very comfortable. But space station can house at any given time up to 14 people almost. That's how much, the life support system can sustain at any given time. Over.
Hi, my name is Thomas. What is your favorite science experiment to do on board? Over.
Hey, Thomas. For me, my favorites are all the medical experiments we do, in particular the experiments that help us develop what we call telemedicine. That's the art of doing medicine remotely, and we use that here on board so doctors on the ground can help us here in space and maybe one day make it possible to treat astronauts on their way to Mars. But because I was a doctor myself on Earth in a remote community, I like to see how we can apply all that technology to remote communities back on Earth. Over.
Hi, my name is Keegan. What do you think the importance of future space stations will be? Over.
Back again. So I think we will always have space stations, just like we now always have a station in Antarctica. We like to have outposts to expand the bubble of humanity. You know, I think there's three things that make civilization, and it's the arts, science, and exploration. And in terms of exploration, that's what space station now represents. You know, we got out of the caves, we explored the plain, we explored mountains, we went further, explored the oceans, and explored the air, learned to fly, and now we're exploring space. I think that's a part of a human spirit of expanding the bubble of our knowledge. Over.
Hi, my name is Emily. What is the importance of amateur radio on the space station? Over.
On the space station, for us, the amateur radio is a way to connect directly with people with an interest in space on the ground instead of going through the more complicated channels through NASA. This way I can talk to you directly just because I'm flying over you. For me, this is a more personal connection and I love it. Over.
Hi, my name is Taylor. What is the best part of working with people from different countries every day? Over.
I think it gives you an incredible personal wealth, if you want, to have the knowledge of a different culture that you can get through contact with people from different countries. That is one of the most enriching things that you can have. I was lucky in my life to be a student in different countries and then working in different countries. And here in space, it just reaches another level because I feel like we are standing on a bridge between nations just above the atmosphere. And so working with people from different nations makes you realize that we are just one. We're just one species, humans, and we have way more in common than we have in difference. Over.
Hi, my name is Jaden. How did you become an astronaut? Does your training for space start right away, or do you have to move up in ranking? Over.
Well, so the way it works is there's a big selection process to be accepted to the astronaut corps, and then immediately you are available to start training, and then you just train. And this the second level of selection is through training, really. So it takes about 5 years at least of training before you get assigned to a space mission, and you have to work in mission control and different support roles. So even though your rank doesn't change, That's how people decide if they can trust you or not with missions. And ultimately, that is what matters most for assignment, is confidence in your skills. Over.
Hi, my name is Brayton. What is your favorite food in space? Over.
My favorite food? So I was lucky that NASA managed to pack some food made by my wife. So I have some home cooking food, one of our family's famous, one of our most favorite recipes, something that we bring when we go camping, and I have packets of home cooking on board Space Station. That's a great treasure for me. Over.
Hi, my name is Wyatt. Are there any man-made objects on Earth that you can see from the Space Station? Over.
Yes, many, many objects like that. So you can very easily see airports. You can easily see cities, of course. You can even see major roads if they're crossing like a highway in the forest. It's very easy to see the white line. You can see the harbors. You can see bridges, major bridges as well. So big man-made structures we can see from space. Over.
Hi, my name is Karen. Do you keep a journal of everything you do on board to remember in the future? Over.
Hi, Karen. Well, my way of doing journals is to call my my wife every day and tell her about my day, and she tells me about her day. That way we are each other's diary, each other's memory.
Hi, my name is Lily. What can scientists do on Earth to help you on the space station? Over.
Tony, can you do the farewells, please? We've lost him here. Over to you. DK6. Tony, can you pick up the farewells, please?
Roger that. Okay, David, we've lost you, and we would just like to, for the group of students to say thank you very much. If you could all go ahead and thank our astronaut, please.
So everybody, let's thank the astronaut for their time today. Give a nice big round of applause for the help.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, David.
All right, ladies. Thank you. Thank you, Martin. And thank you, Tony, for the 73 round. Ladies and gentlemen, Mariah Central School, ARIS has helped astronaut David St. Jock, KG5, FYI, on the International Space Station talk with your school using the ARIS ground station in Meadow Springs, Western Australia, operated by Martin Diggins, VK6MJ, and moderated by myself, John Clute, K4SQC, here in Atlanta. Let's show a round of thanks to Martin and Tony for their efforts.
Thank you, everybody, from Western Australia.
And I would go ahead, Tony, sorry.
Yeah, thank you, David, for your cooperation, and I've taken over from Martin because you're just out of range. Thanks very much, David. This is VK5ZAI is going clear.
I would like to add a round of thanks from the ARIS program to the staff and students of Mariah Central School. I know you've had to go through several reschedulings, switches in astronauts, and I would just like to thank you on behalf of the program for your patience and your willingness to stick with it. I think it turned out to be a very, very positive event for you. So thank you. So on behalf of the international volunteer teams of ARIS, including the folks we've mentioned before, the amateur radio community, the various space agencies that were involved, this is John, K4SQC, your mentor, sending greetings to all of you and signing off in the traditional ham radio term. 73, best wishes, and goodbye. Operator, you can stop the recording.
Okay, thank you very much, John, and thank you, Martin, in Australia, for the help today. And one more thing for everybody here at school. Let's give all of our students that had the opportunity today to be brave and ask questions. That is the end of our program for today. I'm just going to have everybody stay seated for just a few minutes. We're going to end the live stream. And thanks, everybody, for watching the live stream on YouTube today. This video will be available for media shortly afterwards. So thank you for everything today. Thanks again, and for a very successful contact of the Amateur Radio Space Station.